Invite you to turn with me to our text once again, Matthew chapter 7. Once again, we're going to be considering verses 1 through 6. This is the third part of this sermon on these six verses, dealing with judgment and judging others. So let me read for you once again. We're going to be focusing our attention upon verse 6 today, but let's again look at verses 1 through 6 just to pick up the context and to refresh our memories as to what we have already studied and heard from God's Word. So this is the Lord Jesus speaking. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. From our text that we have just read, Jesus teaches that there are two truths about judging others that are at opposite ends one to another. First, the first truth is that Jesus condemns all of our sinful judging of others when he commands, judge not. That is, stop judging sinfully others. In Matthew 7:1. Now, at the other end of what truth that we just spoke concerning the words of Jesus, Jesus approves our judging others in certain circumstances when he commands, in verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Whereas he says, first, stop judging others sinfully. Now he says, judge those who are dogs. Judge those who are swine. Do not give that which is holy to the dogs. Do not cast your pearls before the swine. How can this second command be obeyed if we make no judgment at all as to when people act like dogs or when people act like pigs? People that are behaving like dogs and swine, you see, do not go around with a sign upon their foreheads, dog or pig. We have to make that judgment ourselves based upon their behavior, based upon their speech, based upon their conduct. We will only know by judging their behavior according to God's holy word. Now, Jesus is in no way contradicting here in verse 6 what he had previously prohibited by way of sinful judging in verses 1 through 5. But now he makes clear that all judging of others is not necessarily sinful judging. Christ does not mean for this in verse 6, where he says to make this type of an assessment and judgment about others. He's not saying that this is finally our opportunity that we have been waiting on to be able to call other people dogs and pigs. No, that's not the attitude that Jesus would have us to have at all. This ought not to be for us, again, an opportunity where we feel like we can finally unleash all of our vindictive bitterness toward people who act like dogs and pigs. Dear ones, that would not be righteous judgment. That would be rather sinful judgment, proceeding not from the right standard, God's word, proceeding not from the right motive, love for God and love for our neighbor, nor from the right goal, to do so to the glory of God, if we had that attitude. Exercising this righteous judgment from our text today will require much wisdom on our parts, much restraint on our parts, to know when people are behaving like dogs and like pigs. And so we continue in this three-part series, Matthew 7, 1 through 6, with this outline. In the first sermon, you recall, we focused on the command to stop judging in Matthew 7, 1. Last Lord's Day, we focused our attention upon two reasons to stop judging, sinfully judging, in Matthew 7, 1 through 5. And this Lord's Day, we focus our attention upon commands that require judging on our parts. Commands that require judging. In verse 6. All right. So let's consider that. Commands that require judging on our parts. In verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. In this verse, there are two commands, and there are two results of those commands. So let's focus first upon the two commands, which are in the form of prohibitions, things that we ought not to do, things that we're commanded not to do. The first is, give not that which is holy to dogs. That's the first prohibition or command. The second is, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. So we're going to look at each of those briefly. First of all, give not that which is holy to dogs. Jesus did not forbid, as we've already noted, all judgment in the previous verses. In fact, in Matthew 7, 5, the Lord Jesus tells us that it is right and it is appropriate, as long as we remove the beam from our own eye, to judge by way of seeking to remove the mote, the speck, out of our brother's eye. So we must begin with ourselves. But the Lord doesn't eliminate and forbid all judging. He doesn't eliminate or forbid seeking to take that particular sin that may be a mote in our brother's eye, seeking to help that brother or sister to have that sin removed. So that's not forbidden by the Lord Jesus. He simply gives to us the right order. First of all, remove the beam from our own eyes, judge our own selves, our own sins, and then we'll be able more clearly to see the mote, the piece of sawdust, and remove it from the eye of others. But what if your neighbor will not allow you to remove the mote from their eye, even after you have removed the beam from your own eye. What if your neighbor resents you for even suggesting that he or she has a speck of sawdust in his or her eye? What if your neighbor shows great hostility and contempt for any instruction in doctrine or godliness or any reproof for some sin or error that they have embraced or that they are practicing? What if they spew forth from their mouths threats, anger, and maybe even violence? What does Jesus teach that we should do? What Jesus commands us to do is stated in the form, as we said, of two commands. Give not that which is holy to dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. You see, that's the connection between verse 5 and verse 6. When you seek to take the mote out of your brother's eye and your brother blows up or your sister blows up and will not in any way have anything to do with this process and becomes infuriated. Well, at that particular point, the Lord says, and they may even be Christians, that they're acting like vicious dogs. They're acting like pigs that don't understand the preciousness of reproofs and of correction that is brought to them. The first command, and in this first command, what is not to be given? Well, that which is holy is not to be given. This language, talking about that which is holy, that takes us back to the Old Testament, where anything or anyone that was set apart by God for his own use was said to be holy. The priests who were set apart to God were said to be holy, not because they were sinless, but because they were set apart by God for his glory to serve him. The tabernacle was holy because it was set apart unto God. All the furniture in the tabernacle, the altars, altar of brass, the altar of gold, the table of showbread, all of the furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, all of that was holy because it was set apart. It's not because there was some intrinsic holiness within it. It's because God set it apart for his use. Likewise, God's people, the congregation of God's people, he calls holy because they are set apart to serve him, and therefore they are called holy. The Sabbath day and other appointed days that God's people were to gather and worship him were called holy days, because not because, again, they were intrinsically holy, but because God set them apart as days to gather as his people to worship him. Thus, in the language of the Old Testament, it would be an absolute sacrilege. It would be detestable. It would be a desecration before God to take a holy sacrifice upon the altar and to throw it to dogs to consume. That sacrifice, which was dedicated and consecrated unto God, to cast it to those that are unclean, unclean animals, would be a great abomination unto the Lord and before the Lord. In this context, that which is holy refers to the righteous judging and the righteous correcting and the righteous reproving that was mentioned in the first five verses. That's the connection we find here. For it is the truth of God as found in his word that is to be present in our reproofs. We're not to simply come when we correct and we reprove others in our own authority and with our own mere words. We are to bring the word of God with us. Because what we have to say, frankly, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when I simply speak only on behalf of myself. But when I come bearing the word of God, it is not simply me, it is God himself that is correcting, that is reproving us, that is instructing us in the ways of truth and in righteousness. And so when that holy thing, that holy reproof, that righteous correction, which is agreeable to the word of God, is brought, that's what is being referred to here in verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. That's what we're talking about in the context here. And I would simply ask you a question at this point. Is that how you receive correction? When correction comes your way and it is agreeable to the word of God, do you see it as holy? Or do you hate and despise it because you cannot be corrected, or I cannot be corrected, because we cannot be corrected? Because that's what Jesus says is holy here, is the correction, is the rebuke, is the reproof, is the instruction in righteousness that one is to bring unto another. In Proverbs chapter 15, verses 31 through 32, we read, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life," notice, the reproof of life, not the reproof of death. Reproof is that which brings life. When we are corrected, God is not slaying us, destroying us as his children. He intends that we live abundantly through the correction and through the instruction that we receive from his word and through his servants. It's for our good. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Where does he live? Where does he dwell who receives the reproof of life? He dwells with the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. He hates his soul. Those who hate instruction, those who hate being corrected, despise and hate their own soul. They want death, because that's where it will lead us all. If we don't receive instruction, if we don't receive reproof and correction. And we can always say, but it wasn't given to me in the nicest way. That may be the case. But what we have to evaluate is not only the manner in which someone gives to us correction, but the truthfulness of the correction. Is what was given to us holy, that is, agreeable to the word of God? And if it's agreeable to God's word, then even if it was not given according to our taste and our preference, we ought to receive it. And therein we will dwell with the wise, not with fools. Regardless of how we view correction and rebuke and reproof, Jesus says here, when it's agreeable to God's word, it is holy. It's set apart unto God for his use. To whom is that which is holy not to be given according to Jesus? Not to be given according to Jesus. To the dogs. Now, dogs in the ancient world were not domesticated pets, but were mean, vicious scavengers that hunted and haunted in packs like wolves and like coyotes. There are those who, Jesus is saying, there are those who act like untamed dogs and tearing apart the truth of Jesus Christ that is taught in God's word and that is brought to them for their reproof, for their correction, and for their instruction in righteousness. Thus, just as it would be a great offense to God to take his sacrifice from off of the altar and to cast that sacrifice, that holy sacrifice, to unclean dogs so that they might tear it apart and devour it. So likewise, Jesus is here teaching that to give reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness to those who act like vicious dogs in tearing God's truth apart is actually desecrating that which is holy. Jesus is not saying here that we ought to stop praying for those who hate and tear apart his truth. He's not saying that we have no love for those who hate and despise and tear apart his truth. God even shows us his unfathomable mercy. We who were all dogs by nature, who hated the truth of Jesus Christ, who hated his gospel, who hated and despised his commandments, and who at one time, like vicious dogs, would jump on the truth of Jesus Christ and seek to undermine it, desecrate it, blaspheme our God by our language. So we all, by nature, the nature, the sinful nature, the corrupt nature that we have inherited from Adam, are like dogs. So we're not pointing our fingers at others as if that has not been true of us, and as if there's not still some remnant of that dog-like viciousness within us that is opposed to, that can't stand to be corrected, that can't stand to be reproved and rebuked. Remember how the Lord took one who was leading, perhaps at that particular period of time, the greatest persecution against Christians, who was the persecuting Saul and who was like a dog when it came to the truth. He would not be reproved by the truth of Jesus Christ. But God turned a persecuting Saul into an apostle Paul. So continue to pray for those who act like dogs and hating the truth of Christ. But do not force it down their throats. Do not force the truth down their throats. If you have presented the truth, and they have hated and despised. They have showed their vicious opposition to the truth. Do not continue to try to force that down their throats. Jesus is saying, don't give that which is holy to the dogs. You know, this was actually practiced by Jesus and the apostles in certain cases. For example, Jesus, in sending his disciples out to minister on his behalf in Matthew 10:14, says to them, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." Don't continue to try to force them to receive the truth. If they won't receive you, if they reject you, if they hate and despise your message, leave. Shake off the dust off of your garment, off of your feet. That's simply an outward sign of saying that that you are, at that point in time, having no further contact with them. Likewise, the apostles did the same in Acts 18, verses 5 through 6. "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles.'" They wouldn't receive it. The Jews would not hear. And so, again, the message had been made and declared. God was certainly able to take at any time the truth that had been given and to cause it to become fertile seed within their hearts to bring forth a harvest of faith and repentance and salvation at his own pleasure. But Paul and the others that were with him, they departed. They said, "Well, we're not going to continue to give the truth of Jesus Christ to those who are going to reject it and blaspheme it and hate it and despise it." And yet at the same time, this same Paul who did that and who said that is the Paul who prays in and says in Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He continued to pray even for those who rejected the truth, who hated and despised the truth. So the Lord Jesus here is saying that when others viciously attack the truth with a hatred, or when it is clear, for example, that a family member, a friend, a co-worker, or even a stranger does not want to hear the truth from Scripture, don't force feed them. Don't try and cram it down their throat. Forcing the truth will only antagonize and draw out that vicious dog-like attitude toward that which is holy, Jesus is saying. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 9, we read, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." And in Proverbs 15:12, "A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise." And again, I challenge all of us, myself included, how often do we respond to correction from others acting like a wild dog? We may be Christians, but in various instances and situations, we act more like wild dogs than like sheep. We will not be corrected. We become defensive, easily offended, and we attack what is given to us by way of criticism, even when that criticism is agreeable to God's word. There was one who will carefully listen to criticism and not go into the attack mode, but will seek the wisdom and the understanding of the Lord, and his response truly evidences a new heart, truly evidences faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But that's not the only command that we find. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. A second command: neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Whereas wild dogs are noted for their viciousness, swine are noted for their filthiness in wallowing in the mud. Whereas to act like a dog is to attack the truth of a rebuke that's agreeable to God's word, that is holy. To act like a pig is to live in the immoral filth and wickedness and corruption of the world. The one who's acting like a pig loves the mud, loves the filth, loves the corruption, has no desire to leave it. Even if you throw pearls that are very valuable before that pig, it's not going to take the pearl and treasure. It's going to, as we'll see, it's just going to trample it underfoot. Just as one who casts that pearl into a pig's pen will find the pig. It doesn't matter if you throw one pearl, if you throw many pearls into the pig's pen, the pig's going to always prefer the filth over the pearl. And so is one who is mired in the wicked living and the moral slop that is portrayed so often on TV and in movies and is heard in music and in entertainment today. It is filth. It is slop, moral filth and moral slop. Sadly, Hollywood, or the music industry, rather than scripture, is the standard of most people's character and lives today. No matter how many priceless pearls you cast in order to coax the pig out of its mud and its filth, out of its corruption, the pig will grunt as if the pearl is worthless. So are those, dear ones, to whom you may bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, to whom you may bring the reproofs of life. They love their immoral filth more than they love God and his good and holy commandments. You can cast those things that are pearls, that are priceless, the gospel, the saving gospel that rescues us from our sin, the commandments of God that come from his own mouth, that are for our good, for our instruction. You can cast as many as you want before those who are enamored and who love the corruption of this world. And no matter how many you throw, they will not be coaxed or influenced to leave if that's where their heart and where their love is. They will prefer that immoral filth over the Lord and his commandments. The word of truth, dear ones, the word of truth not only sets us free from the hatred from having hatred for the truth and being like dogs. But the word of truth also sets us free from the love of corruption of this world and the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. You see, dear ones, the pig is addicted to its filth and its mud. It loves to wallow in it. It doesn't see anything even perhaps wrong with it. We look at that and we say, I don't know how a pig lives in that mud. It's just completely foreign to us to see and to understand that. And we the same thing happens with those who live in the world who are entertained and love this world to such a degree that we say, how can you live in that filth? But that's where they find their love. That's where they find their desires are met and realized, even though those desires are wicked and sinful and will perish with them. May the Lord deliver us by his word and spirit as Christians from a love of the filth of this world. May we see the filth of this world as Jesus sees it, as filth, as corruption. And may we see his holiness and his righteousness as Jesus himself sees it, a pearl of great price, infinitely valuable. Beloved, what you watch for entertainment will reveal whether you love the filth or you love the pearl. Now with the pig, just like with the dog, should you continue to try and beat the door down and open the windows to those who love to live in darkness, who love to live in their filth and who will not budge, who will, again, make fun of and ridicule our godly and our righteous living, our desire to follow in the paths of truth and righteousness? Should you continue to throw the priceless pearls of Christ's purity and the promise he makes to remove that filthy heart, to give a clean heart to those who are willfully addicted to their lust and their worldliness and their self-worship? Should you just continue to throw the pearls before them? Jesus says that there is an appropriate time and place to make a righteous judgment in not casting Christ's priceless pearls of purity in the gospel and in his commandments before them. And to do so only tends to make them hate the holiness of Christ more and more. Well, having heard the truth and rejected it, what they need is not more of the truth. What they need is the work of God's Spirit bringing about within them a new heart, a cleansed heart. You see, there is a time to speak, but there's also a time to be silent and pray. That's the principle taught in Ecclesiastes 3:7. There's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. The wisest man that ever lived, mere man that ever lived, Solomon said, none of us can talk or preach someone. And I know this is going to probably burst some of our bubbles, but none of us can talk or preach or argue somebody into the kingdom of Christ. None of us can talk or preach or argue someone who is obstinate in error or in wickedness into the kingdom of Christ. It's not our arguing, it's not our speaking and talking, and it's not our preaching We must understand what is our part, and that is to make the truth known, and what is God's sovereign part and role and his work, and that is to take the truth and to bring forth faith and to bring forth repentance and to bring forth a life and fruit from the word that has been given. So we've looked at two commandments. Now let's, as we bring the sermon to an end, we have two results. Two results here in verse 6. First, the commandments. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Now, the two results. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So first of all, the first result, lest they trample them under feet. Trample what under feet? The pearls. Lest they trample them under feet. This would be the result of casting pearls before swine, as we've noted, who love their filth. They will snort at the pearls. They will grunt at the pearls and may even take the pearl up in their mouth, but they'll spit the pearl out. They do not know. They do not love or appreciate the value of those pearls, of God's wisdom and God's holiness and God's truth. That is exactly the outcome, dear ones, of those who are family members, friends, and strangers who think it is just great to live for themselves and what they can see in this world by way of its filth and corruption. And they will trample upon and bury the glorious pearl that they can be pardoned of all their sins. That pearl is what they're trampling underfoot. That they can actually be pardoned and forgiven all of their sins now and for all eternity. And be set free. Set free from their addictions and from their sins and from the lusts that have enslaved them. That's the pearls that they are trampling upon. That they are bearing. But they prefer the mud. Jesus uses another analogy. They prefer darkness over light. And they won't come to the light because they love their darkness more than the light. And they want to live in that darkness where the light doesn't expose their sins, expose their filth and their corruption, which we all lived in at one time or another. Before we came to Christ. Have you treated the pearl of great price, Christ's grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his faith, repentance, his love, his holiness? Have you treated the pearl of great price as of great value or as of little or no value? Well, how do you tell? How will you know whether you treated the pearl of being of infinite worth, of no worth? Well, I think you can tell by asking yourself the question, am I trampling upon Christ's truth? In the form of corrections, in the form of rebukes, in the form of reproof that comes to me from God's word, that comes to me from servants of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, a husband, a wife, a parent, a child, how am I treating those reproofs? Because when we're acting like pigs, we're going to simply trample it underfoot and bury it. But when we recognize the value of the pearl that's been given unto us, we take it, we hold on to it, we treasure it, we want to live according to it, we want to repent of our sins and turn in faith to Christ and seek his forgiveness. And then we read the second result. And turn again and rend you, lest they trample them under feet. First result. Second, and turn again and rend you. See, after the pig tramples the pearl as something worthless, Jesus gives another result. The pig may turn on you and rend you, tear you apart. After it has attacked the reproof and the correction of life from God's word, it will then turn again to rend you. Whether verbally or whether bodily. So every time, and we need to be cautious, we need to be careful. We're not going out and calling people dogs and pigs. Jesus is talking about those who live like dogs and pigs, who have the behavior of dogs and pigs. But we have to know that when we set before those the pearl of wisdom, the pearl of holiness, the pearl of truth that's found in God's word by way of a reproof or a correction, that there is always the possibility that they will then turn on us. That they will hate us, they will despise us, and they will come after us. How often have we ourselves acted like pigs in attacking a family member or a friend who dare disturb us from our worldly lusts and pleasures and our worldly entertainment that takes us away from the holiness and righteousness of Christ, because that family member or friend has cast the pearl of God's word by way of reproof and correction in our direction? We have resented it, if we're all honest. We have all, at times, resented being corrected. We have retaliated and gone after the person who corrected us to rend them, to tear them apart. Maybe not physically, maybe not bodily, but by way of our speech and our behavior and our actions. Dear ones, if you are truly converted, you will hate that response of acting like a pig. You will despise that response, even if you did so. But you will hate the fact that you did so. You'll not justify the fact that you did so. You'll not try to hold it up as some example and turn everything around. Well, you did this to me, so I did the same thing to you. No, that doesn't justify it. You will hate your response that has been like a dog or like a pig. And you will rather pray that God will help you to respond like a sheep in following the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those who are truly Christ's sheep, even when they respond like pigs or like dogs to the truth, they will repent. They will grieve, they will sorrow over what they have done. They will seek the forgiveness of those they offended, and primarily God's forgiveness. And they will turn to the mercy of God in Christ Jesus and endeavor to practice new obedience to the Lord. You see, that pig-like response or that dog-like response is the old man that has already been legally crucified when Jesus was crucified and hung upon the cross. Our old man was nailed to the cross legally with him. But that old man experientially still lives within us, and we are battling it and we are warring against it every single day. But we have to have the vision and the spiritual insight to recognize when we're acting like a dog and when we're acting like a pig in our responses of reproof of life that come to us, or even criticism that is not given to us in the right manner. It doesn't matter. We don't respond like pigs even to criticism that doesn't come to us in the right way. However, if we are Christ's sheep, dear friends, we will hate the remnants of the pig and the dog that yet remain within us. And we will love the nature of the sheep in trusting and loving and following the Lord Jesus Christ and taking up our cross, denying ourselves and following him. If we are Christ's sheep, we will want to spend time with the Good Shepherd in prayer, studying and reading his word, if we are sheep and not merely dogs and not merely pigs. As sheep, we want to spend time with the Good Shepherd. For to spend time with the Good Shepherd in his word and prayer is to become like him. The more time we spend with him, the more we become like him. When we do not spend time with him, we do not become like him. We become unlike him. We become more like the pig and the dog than like the sheep. If we are Christ's sheep, we also love righteousness and will hate the filth of this world. We will separate ourselves from that which is filthy. We will cleanse ourselves of that which is filthy by coming to Christ, falling upon his mercy and saying, Lord, take away this filth out of my life, out of my heart, out of my desires. And help me to love righteousness. Help me to love truth as Jesus does. As Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen. Please stand with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thou art glorious, holy, righteous, ever faithful and truthful. We thank thee, our God, that thou hast given to us, even in thy word today, the words of wisdom and how we are to receive reproof, not as dogs, not as pigs, but as sheep, following the Good Shepherd. Guide and lead us, Lord, as we pass through this life. Take us, our God, out of that filth and mire which our old man prefers, but help us, our Lord, to walk in newness of life and evidence that we truly are thy sheep. Our God, we call upon thee even now and pray that thy spirit would apply thy word in a mighty way in our lives. That we would not leave, Lord, today as we came. That our Father, thy Spirit would grant to us a brokenness, a contriteness before thee, a humility. We thank thee, our God, for the power of thy word. We ask that thou would use it to change and transform us into the image of Christ our Savior. in whose name we pray. Amen.